My brothers and I welcome you to the house of the Lord. Even our tabernacle. The scripture suggested for our consideration for today had to do with the tabernacle, which the people, the righteous people, gathered to worship in the time of David. David was a person who was full speed ahead, whatever he was doing. There weren't any ambiguities to him. He's all the way or not. This sometime got him into trouble. And to an extent, we're the same way. We want to do things our way. And that's natural. But that also got Adam and Eve into trouble. And so we had sin enter into God's creation here upon this earth. And so we have before us decisions to be made every day. God has given us the guidelines. He has said, in their day, thou shalt and thou shalt not. It's pretty evident what he wanted done. But in our day, we don't have quite that stark reality difference. And so we sort of muddle our way through and think, well, God can overlook these little problems I have in my life. And he'll be nice and good to me and forgive, perhaps, if we misstep, choose the wrong way. And so as I contemplated the scripture, there was a difference that came to my mind about tabernacles. I'll read you shortly a reference to what I consider our tabernacle that will be. Not here yet, but that will be. We're given the guidelines to accomplish that. And we do our best in our own ways to accomplish that. For the sake of the recording this evening, I'm Lowell Rafferty, an elder. Brother Ray Wheeler will bring the invocation. Brother Josh Vanderzweig will have the spoken word, and my brother Deacon Wilson Jones. The reason I say that is that the Lord called me to be a deacon. Been a long time ago, but I endeavored to do that. So I consider myself a deacon when there is deacon's work to be done. The pianist tonight is Shelby Walker. Thank you, Shelby, for being here. And Brother Luke Richmond is the head deacon and the deacon in charge tonight. Let's turn to our opening hymn, number 15, for the beauty of the earth. We're concentrating on what God has caused His Son to be able to do for us. We're here because of that. We're created because of that.
Our Father in heaven, we do come to you tonight, Father, with grateful hearts, thankful for the beauty that surrounds us. Thankful, Father, for this sanctuary, this opportunity we have to come and spend this hour with you, Father. I thank you for my brother Josh, and I pray that you would bless him, that those words that you put on his heart and his mind, he will be able to bring to this waiting congregation. We praise you, Father, for the gift of life and for all that it brings and for the opportunity we have to serve you, Father. So we pray as we've met here tonight, Father, and we bask in the presence of your Spirit, Father, we thank you and praise you in the name of your Son, even Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Good evening. For my opening scripture, I'd like to read James chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into many afflictions, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. It's a peaceful evening. Even though it's cold, being from Northwest Iowa, I'm kind of used to the cold, so this doesn't bother me. I was saying to these guys before I came down here, if I hadn't wised up, I'd probably be wearing shorts today, but it's a little chilly for that today. Before I give this sermon, I want you guys to think about a couple questions that I've been thinking about. And I was talking to a good friend recently about what I was going to speak on tonight, and a resounding theme that he and I talk about a lot is the struggles in the church. And he asked me, and I want you to think about this, are you a consumer or are you a contributor? And thinking a little bit deeper into that, the second part would be, what does God want from us? I live a pretty joyous life. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy I just enjoy life most of the time. And, you know, I count a lot of blessings in my life. I have a great family that loves me. I have great friends and all these different things. And I think about what makes me happy and what makes me joyful in my life. And I wonder when I look at people, why aren't they happy? And my mom always says I don't express my expressions the best. I always have a frowning face. I always look mad, but really I'm actually pretty happy. And But I look at other people, and they can't all be like me. They can't all have frowny faces for no reason. But there's a lot of struggles that people go through in life. There's maybe the loss of a loved one. We've witnessed that quite a bit the last couple years. Somebody's in poor health. Your job isn't going well. There's just a lot of different things that could be going on in your life. And I don't like to sing. I was in choir when I was in college, but I don't really enjoy it that much. Most mornings when I wake up in the morning, I have some sort of a song on my mind. It's either a country song or it's a Christian pop song. Sometimes it's a campfire song like this morning, and it comes from Philippians 4:4. And most of you probably know this. It's rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice. And, you know, I think I live a pretty normal life. I wake up every morning like everybody does. I take a shower. I get my clothes on. I go to work. I live a fairly normal life. And one of the things that, especially when I moved from Northwest Iowa down here, I wanted to change some of my daily habits, some of the things that I was involved with. And purposely in my schedule every day, I put at 11:45 for 15 minutes, I put in for reading time, whatever that means. Just read a book, read the scriptures, read something. And I wanted to share a little testimony. It's not mine, but it's a testimony that I've been reading from the book. If you're interested, it's called No Atheists in Foxholes. It's from Chaplain McLaughlin. And I'll do a little backstory on this. This chaplain, he has been... he's in the U.S. Army. I don't know if he currently is or not, but he's in the U.S. Army. He served as chaplain for several presidents, and he's done several tours. He's been to Iraq. He's been to all over the world. And this particular story, this chaplain is based in Iraq during the Iraqi war, and they're going on a mission. They're going to be traveling from one camp to another, and I don't know the names exactly, but on the way to this from the other base, they run into a little firefight. They get attacked by a bunch of terrorists while they're in the streets. And long story short, they eventually get the firefight down. And the chaplain was about to get back into his whatever he was driving. And this Iraqi gentleman comes with this 10, 12-year-old boy in his arms. And he couldn't speak any English, and he hands him over to the chaplain. And the boy's got a bullet in his side, and he's bleeding profusely, and the chaplain didn't even have to say anything to the guy. He just took the kid and took him with him to the army camp where they could get some proper medical attention. Fast forward a little bit, the chaplain says that the Iraqi gentleman eventually came onto the base, and through the interpreter, he said this to the chaplain. He said, "I find comfort in knowing the Lord is there for everyone, no matter what your religion is." This Iraqi gentleman was Muslim and was not a Christian. And one of the things that I found and why I share this with you is that no matter if where you are, if you feel like you're alone, no matter what religion you believe in or whatever your case is, the Lord is always with you. In Psalm 139, if you'd like to turn with me, reading 1 through 14. "O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, then laid down hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I go from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. And if I make my bed in hell, thou, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou possess my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. I've been doing, I might have shared this before, I talk to a lot of people, I don't know who I tell things anymore, but I've been doing a mentorship program with, I've been getting mentored by our CEO, and he's been taking some time out of every month. We meet for an hour, and we just talk about general professional things, how to develop professionally, and we talk about characteristics of myself and how to improve on my life in general. And this is a kind of an activity for you guys, for you to do on your own, but if you get a chance, he recommended me to break down four of the most important things that are in my life. And this might be different for you guys, but the four most important things that are in my life is faith, family, friends, and my job. And he said, after we came down with those four things, he said, I'll give you 100 points, and tell me, out of those 100 points, what percentage of those go to each category. And the first time I did it, I put 50% or 50 points for family, or faith, excuse me, 50 for faith, 25 for family, 15 for friends, and 10 for my job. And then he said, he just looked at me and he smiled. He's like, that's not true, man. Don't lie to me. And I said, I know how you work. You're texting me at midnight most nights with new ideas and stuff like that. I'm like, okay, yeah, let's rethink this one a little bit. So I did a little bit harder thinking, and I thought to myself, you know, honestly, in my life, it's almost even across the board, 25, 25, 25, 25. And that's a representation of where I value things. And, you know, I was raised in the church. I was raised to be, to put God first. And that's how I want to live my life. And I struggle with that. I struggle with that balance quite frequently, of how do I balance my family and my friends? How do I balance work and church life? It's been a fun but interesting balancing act for me. And if you'd like to turn with me again to Luke chapter 12, I'll read verses 24 through 34. And he said unto his disciples, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life for what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn. Nevertheless, God feedeth them. Are ye not better than the fowls? And who of you are taking thought it can add to his stature in cubit? If ye then be not able to do that which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass which is today in the field, and tomorrow is feast in the oven, how much more will you provide for you if you are not of little faith? Therefore, seek ye not what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father who is in heaven knoweth that ye have need of these things. And ye are sent and ye are sent unto them to be their ministers, and that the laborers is worthy of his hire. For the law saith that a man shall not muzzle the ox that treadeth out of the corn. Therefore seek ye to bring forth the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 38, wherefore seek not the things of the world, but seek ye first to build up the kingdom of God and to establish his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day shall be the evil thereof. After I finished that book, I started a new one that had a quote from Billy Graham. And I respect Billy Graham quite a bit. I listen to his podcast, I listen to his sermons on a podcast. And the other day, while I was driving, he made an interesting statement that I'm going to use tonight. He said, I'm not going to heaven because I preached to the great crowds or read the Bible many times. I'm going to heaven just like the thief of the on the cross who said in that last moment, Lord, remember me. Every moment counts. So when you're contemplating in your life what's most important, whether you're balancing your family or your faith or your whatever the fact is, there's so many things to consider that time is short. And I'm learning that as I get a little bit older. I'm only 25, but I realize how short time is. It wasn't that long ago where I was living up in Iowa, and I don't think I've shared this testimony, but I was, before I moved here, I was kind of young and dumb. That's probably a good term to use for that, but I made some pretty poor choices, and after I had graduated college, those choices kind of followed me. I worked for a co-op for a couple years before I moved here, and most days basically was showing up to work, and I would, if I cussed 50 times a day, that was normal for me. And the testimony that I really want to share is how I kind of reaffirmed my faith, and if you can't tell, I'm a little uncomfortable. I haven't really shared this too much, but so after I had worked at the co-op for a while, I was debating on whether I was going to find a new job or if I was going to stay up in Iowa or what the case was, and I was still working at the co-op, and I was applying to different positions around the area, and I got some good offers and that sort of thing, but nothing seemed to really click with me. And my mom made the suggestion for me to apply to the Book of Mormon internship, and I thought, you know, I'm already graduated. I don't really want to do another internship type of thing. Most of those people are going to be younger than me, which actually Ellie Williams was the counselor who was younger than me, which was kind of funny. But anyway, I applied to the internship, and really with the thought of, well, it's only a few weeks, it's not going to really turn into anything, and I applied to that job, or I applied to the internship, and I eventually got to go on it. And but before I went on that internship, I quit my job immediately. I was just done. And I had about 6-7 weeks before the internship started. And I don't have any debt or anything else, and I had money saved up that I could just do that. So I took a trip out to Seattle. I did some other things with my friends. And this is kind of the part that's hard for me to talk about. But before I went on the internship, my best friend and I, we used to boat a lot together. We owned a boat together, and we regularly would go out drinking and just doing a lot of dumb stuff, put it that way. And we were out boating one time on Lake Okoboji. I don't know if you know where that is. It's up in northwest Iowa. It's one of the glacial lakes in Iowa. It's pretty cool. But anyway, we were boating that one summer day, and it was just him and I on the boat. And there's a little cubby hole on the front left side of the boat where we usually throw our beer cans into just for when we're done with them. And I had, I don't know how many beers in or whatever, but I'd gotten to the point where I was pretty tipsy and pretty out of it, and I completely missed the shot, and it went overboard. And I didn't really think much of it, but my buddy yelled at me, and he said, "You better jump into the water. The DNR is going to get after you if you don't." And so I thought, all right. So I jumped into the water, and I didn't have a life vest on, and I swam after this beer can for probably 100 yards or so. And being under the influence, I started to drown, and it was a extremely scary moment for me. And I yelled back to my friend on the boat, and he jumps into the water, and he's pretty under the influence as well. And he didn't put a life jacket on himself. He jumps out to the water with one life jacket and swims after me, and I'm basically drowning. And he grabs me, and we're swimming back and forth and sharing the life jacket. It was commotion, we'll put it that way. And we got back to the boat, and by this time I had sobered up a little bit. And I said, I think we got a problem here. And he said, "You think?" And I said, "Well, what are we going to do about it?" And long story short, we ended up quitting on that day. We just decided not to drink, and we tried to replace those habits with other things, not necessarily reading the scriptures all the time. That's, but through that experience, we really grew in our faith together. And it came at a time right before the internship where I needed some direction, some understanding of where I needed to go in my life. And eventually, I think I've shared this part, but I got onto the internship and it changed my life. And I eventually moved down here, and the rest is history. But the reason why I shared that is time is short, and I could have kept doing the stupid stuff that I was doing. I could have whatever. I could have stayed up in Iowa and all these different things. But here I am, and I know this is a short sermon, but I wanted to really just bring out this message tonight that, like I said in the beginning, figure out what's most important to you in your life. Because I've made the mistake, and I tried to correct myself, and I'm still working on myself. But here we are. We have the many opportunities in front of us. Utilize it. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. It was difficult for you, but we have bonded with you because each of us have made some bad decisions. And each of us have had the Lord's help in changing that which was necessary in our lives. So as we go forward, I would like to share my belief about Zion. We know that Enoch was given the opportunity to face to face talk with the Lord. And the Lord gave him information about the future. The Lord also indicated to him that repentance was important. And so, because of that, those people that Enoch preached to and preached repentance to, they came to realize that each one of them had things that they needed help with. And it's my belief that as they helped each other, that was the cause of Zion. They understood each other's problems, and they upheld each other because they understood the problems that they were experiencing. And they realized in their own lives that there were some things that might be good for them to change. Eventually, because of the love that they each had for each other and the forgiveness, which might have been a problem between them, that vanished because of the love for each other. And eventually the good Lord saw fit to take them to himself where he is. Now that's a temporary situation, because the good Lord's going to come back and he's going to bring them with him. If we get to the point, and I would like to say when we get to the point, that we will forgive each other, where if somebody's having a problem, we get in there and help them. We do whatever is necessary to uphold each other, to accomplish this love. When we get that close to each other, the Lord has said he would come back. There'll be a blending of those that have gone before and lived many years ago, and us here and now. We have a job to do. It will require extreme love, willingness to put each other into our responsibility. I'm grateful that you're here tonight. It's been a long time since I've been here. I feel quite uncomfortable. The situation which I now find myself in is very similar to yours. Frankly, at times, I don't know what's going on. I don't have the power, the control, over those things which I thought were important. Maybe they were, maybe they weren't. God knows. What I do know is that this building is important to me. not because of the sticks and, you know, the whatever's on the buildings. But you see, God preserved my life in this building. I was here, right down the middle over there, about 40 feet, when those trusses came down. I saw them coming. I was talking to Bob Van Fleet when they fell. Brother Bob is now with his Creator. But I was spared for what purpose he knows, God knows. And so I've tried to do what I can to show my brothers and sisters my gratitude to my God. And so we find ourselves here now on the road to Zion. I like that. On the road. That's action. That's getting with it. That's doing the things that are necessary to accomplish God's will here upon this earth for us now. Again, brother, I thank you in your sermon for sharing those most precious thoughts and feelings that you had. It takes a great deal of courage to share those things which are emotionally very deep. But God can provide and does provide and uphold us whenever we do decide to share those important things. Again, I'm grateful you're here. You've been blessed by Josh's testimonies and his feelings about his life and what God wants him to do and what he wants us to do. God has prepared every needful thing for us. We need to be aware of that. Sometimes in my life, I look and I can't figure out what's going on. But I know who's in charge, and it's not me. I know he's in charge. And if I have faith in him, if I turn the reins over to him, he will guide and direct. May God continue your blessings to us.
Father in heaven, we thank you for the gifts that we've received this day. We thank you for thy presence. We thank you for the gift that you've given us of salvation, that we must ask. We must bring that broken heart and that contrite spirit, that we demonstrate our desire to follow you. We thank you for the gift of thy Son, and we ask that you would send a benediction to us this night, that you would go with us and keep us safe, that you would watch over us, that we might again come to this building and come into thy presence in our everyday walk of life. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, amen.